Two guys together, two blocks to home. One mugger, one gun, one run, one froze. One turns, one shot, one drops all alone. The heart beats down to zero. It lessens the air. No bars on the phone. No response, all alone. Only the stars know you're there.
Welcome, welcome. This is Sharon Smith, and this is Iambic Poetry Podcast, where we talk to poets, performers, and artists of the Sacramento area. Today is a little bit different, and I'm going to basically let our reoccurring guests give you the gist as I present, once again, the lady, the poet, the author, the blogger, the sect educator. I like y'all to forget, not forget, but
thanks. Thanks. Now we know your real feelings.
Oh, snap, Jackson. Everyone, give a shout out and a clap and a woo woo to Auntie Vibe. How are you doing with this whole COVID-19 thing?
It's like my daily life. How you holding up?
I'm all okay.
But don't lie.
I ain't gonna lie to people. I am losing my mind. I have now figured out that I am extrovert badly. But I really don't need many people. I just need certain people. And those certain people I can't see. So
you're going a little stir crazy.
Just a little.
You don't consider going out in the backyard, going outside. You don't get out for your run.
Yeah.
You've gone on some drives.
I've gone on drives.
Yes. So what's trying to keep you sane in these times?
That is a good question. What is keeping me sane this time? Okay, let's see. What's keeping me sane these times at this moment? You're keeping me sane these times. SPC, Sacramento Poetry, is keeping me sane at this time. My podcast, my lovely listeners, and the guests and everything else is keeping me somewhat sane at this time.
So we can start with, why are we doing this rather than you having an actual guest on? Why are you having me on again?
Okay, well, people, let's be honest. What happened was, your man was doing other things beyond getting ready for this show, and I looked at it as, well, I don't have a guest per se, but you know something? Y'all do not know anything about me. I've been giving you all these interesting guests and stuff, but y'all don't know what the heck who I am. So I feel like that. Why don't we basically interview me?
So that's what we're doing. And for the lovely listeners, the clicking you hear in the background are dog toenails.
Well, they know that.
Oh, you've done it before.
I've had situations where dogs have come into the picture.
Yes. So just so people are going, what the hell is that sound? It's dog toenails. So let's start. Tell me your poetic origin story.
I have an origin story. Yes, people, I have an origin story. My poetic origin story started when I was 10 and was getting into rap music. And, well, let's see. Actually, I was getting into little small poems, like mostly nursery rhymes and stuff. And after that, I started going into seeing my first Run DMC video and go, oh my gosh, they do poetry. So I started changing from doing Hickory Dickory Dock to What's Up Off the Block type of stuff. So, yeah.
So that's where you started. And did you just stay writing poetry through your youth and into your adulthood, or were there side roads?
I went from poetry per se into rap, being a rapper. And I was a rapper all the way up till about, actually, I was a rapper all the way up to about 19. And I went to the military at 18. And I was doing a few rhyme competitions and stuff.
Unfortunately. but not as fat as Sherman Clump. And I come with the skill to make you move your rump, interrupt discussions. The beats well developed by Crimson Dynamics, so don't you forget it, yo. Let me introduce myself, my name, the R.E.S., pronounced the way that it's spelled. Prevail to new level, life isn't upscale, so need to write a book to see these guys, the details.
And when I came back from the military, back to civilization, my brother did a few. I actually became a producer. I started producing my brother, and he actually has an album out with his name R. Cal, W-R-C-A-L. And I started doing music and stuff during that time. So yeah. And then after that, also, I couldn't find myself a DJ, so I started DJing so I can have something to play my music. Kind of a weird comeback, but okay.
So these days, what's your goal with poetry?
You know, the funniest thing, I came back to poetry in 2012. And the reason why I came back, because, well, slam poetry was getting big in the 2000s, but I didn't really resonate until later on, like till 2006, 2005. And I just started going to that route because of, I found a new direction. I wasn't doing rap as much as I used to. I was actually doing poetry. So my direction to poetry now is trying to understand it more. I didn't take poetry classes when I was a kid. I learned most of my stuff later on during the fact of books and reading and viewing and reading actual poets and stuff. I mean, I learned about Wordsworth and stuff on my own terms. I didn't learn about all the rest of the stuff until later. So,
and what poets currently are inspiring you?
You know, the funniest thing, the current poets that are inspiring me are Robert Frost, he's a local poet in Sacramento, and yes, there's a few, and then also Black Ice, he's a slam poet, Patricia Smith, and also a poet named Kevin Covoy. He is over in Chicago. He's a slam poet in Chicago, very, very epic out there. Yeah.
And what is it about their poetry that inspires you?
They don't use the same pattern. They don't use what's known now as the slam pattern or the political pattern, or they don't seem to stick with the same pattern. They find something else to talk about.
So in your own work, where are you moving? What are you talking more and more about in your own work?
Well, right now it's the COVID, but beyond that, my work is going towards talking about violence in America, but in a different direction, looking at it from both standpoints, from the killer side and then also the person who's the victim and also the person who is the victor.
And what's the goal with that?
The goal with that is to see that, to look at the standpoint of both ends, because as people keep on trying to charm about who the victim side of it all, the victim is always the person that's the one depressed or the one who gets all the defeat, is the one that's being defeated. People never see it from the victor side unless they're the victor. And even with that perspective, I started noticing that victors are the ones that write the history. They're the ones that basically tell the story, where the victim does not.
Okay. And you say this is different than, you know, people who are inspiring you aren't talking about these political things, but that in itself is very political in what you're writing about.
Touché.
So how is their work influencing yours, or is it?
Well, it's going a different, it's going, you know, the funny thing when people say that, is it influencing my work? It influences my work, but also frustrates me, because I started noticing that the fact that people do not talk, when they talk about problems, they just talk about the problem. They don't talk about an idea or a suggestion or a solution. They just talk about the problem, and they just keep constantly talking about the problem. I mean, if you're not getting water, How long are you going to keep talking about, I don't have no water? Unless you go out there and go find where the water's at. I mean, we do need action in some of our, or some of our statements. We do need some action. We shouldn't be using the same trope, as it's known, to keep us in this state of mind where we're not gonna mount anything. We're gonna keep on still having the same problem now as we're gonna have in the future. I mean, with that in our minds all the time, we'll never see potential. We'll never see our potential grow. We'll just keep in this same little bubble because it's comfortable. And after a while, you start wondering, well, do you even want this bubble to to end? And you have to really ask. You have to really sit down and ask yourself, do you really want this to end or not? If you don't, then stay where you are. But if you're going to keep on telling other people the same thing, I have this problem, I have this constant, then don't look at me when I look at you wondering, I don't want to listen to you no more. This is not helping me, and it's not helping you.
Do you think part of that is driven by the way, especially in slam and in a lot of open mics, by the way people are either scored or rewarded with applause, talking about pain, talking about damage without ever asking a solution?
Yeah, but, you know, it's funny how, you know, the funniest thing about slam and some of the poems and stuff, some of the stuff is actually, I kind of look at it towards, as it's geared towards comedy. Comedy itself, and it'll take the low-hanging fruit to get people started, to get people on their side. But then after a while, the jokes will start actually excelling more. From the person's standpoint, if things happen in their lives that change their perspective, they'll either take that information and upgrade their jokes by, you know, trying them out and stuff, or they'll stay with the low hanging fruit. Poets, to me, do not do that all the time. They will either write one poem that's A, and write the same poem that's B. Just have a few little inflections, maybe change, but somehow it's the same route. I know a lot of poets who do a lot of things differently, but I always get concerned on the fact of are you doing new poems and not showing them, or are you just finding out poems that work? You're looking for the formula. It's almost like I just said, you're looking for the form. You know that this works better than this.
But isn't that rational? If you are competing, you want to figure out what three or four consistently work.
True. Yes, you are competing, and you are trying to find what really works. But I've also seen when it didn't work, where there's too many political poets, and one's always shortened down to the other, or there's too many violent poems. And it's one short down the other. Sometimes that can also backfire on you too.
So you're known more as a comedic poet. You write those pieces of yours that tend to hit consistently are ones that tend to be a little more amusing. Things like The Office. So why are you moving away from comedic poetry?
I'm moving away from comedic poetry because unfortunately it has put me into a box. It has now made people, I didn't notice it before, but I now started being aware of it, that people don't see me any further than those poems. They see me as, oh, he's not a serious poet, or he's not talking the same stuff that this other guy's talking that's relatable to me. And also because a lot of comedic poems that I, the comedic poems that they work, and I get a lot of people telling me that, oh, I'll never be able to do that. And it's a good motivator, but it's also showing that they're not going my route, not because they don't want to, it's mostly because that's not profitable to them.
Okay. And do you see shifting it being more profitable for you?
No, I see shifting as being a way to be more, to have a bigger, expand my range. I mean, if I can do comical poems well, then I can do tragic poems also. I can also do happy poems. I can write a happy poem about life in general where people will look at life and go, well, why are you so happy? Why should I not be? People don't do that. People write about mostly about stuff of emotion, but yet always happy is always looked as the back end. That's the one that's never tapped into. Happy poems are sometimes looked at as being, people feel as being conceited, or just because you're happy today, I'm not happy. There's a judgment to it. And I see that as an untapped source.
So you want to tap happy?
I do want to tap happy, because I think happy is such a, well, even in poetry, it's such a, what would I say? It is such a problem to people, expectations. When they walk into somewhere, going to work, going to their kids thing, going to a funeral, even a funeral, you can be happy at a funeral. As much as people think that you can't be because of a tragic situation, you can be happy at a funeral. And it's a weird emotion. You can smile, but you can still also be on your guard. I know people that do that. They're smiling, but they're really on their guard still.
So you talk about a lot of the things you're not thrilled with or things you don't necessarily agree with in the poetry scene. Right now with the poetry scene, what do you really enjoy?
Oh, you know, the funniest thing I enjoy about the poetry scene, I enjoy some of the camaraderie, but I've also enjoyed some of the how poets can make something so simple and expand it into a theatrical being. Like my man Agnes, he made Slam Spoken Word Federation. He made an actual wrestling analogy to poetry and basically made a ring. He also made from the ring, he actually put certain posts together to fight and stuff. Now, I did the last one last year, and all my poems, I actually aimed them towards my competitor. So even though some of the poems were repetitive, they were almost all the ideas were aimed at my competitor. My competitor couldn't do that to me, because most of his poems that he used weren't aimed at, only aimed at himself. And he should have been able to switch it to make him focus on my attention, but he did not.
Well, and you did a little shit talking in that one too.
Well, that's the way you're supposed to be.
In a wrestling
ring.
This
is a competition. This is just like Slam. You know the funniest thing about Slam that always cracked me up was, unlike a rap battle where the actual people are actually looking at each other, Slam itself is only one person goes on stage, they do their poem, and then they get the hell off. And then maybe get a judgment call. That's like someone doing a dive, and they jump off, and then someone's going to put the sign up. Slam is not attacking somebody. There is nobody going at each other's throat. I don't hear no one in the audience. I didn't hear no poet in going against the audience going, y'all don't care about me. I don't know why y'all are here. Y'all should go home. Because he knows that if he does that, they're going to boo him. But if he did that, that would change the perspective.
So you want it more like full contact poetry, a wrestling match?
I want poems not to only affect your emotion. I want it to affect your whole psyche. I want it to make you go, well, what the fuck was that about? Because we already get that with the political. We already get that with people's interviews or people's statements or even memes. We get that with already. It's funny how poets always, they always teeter on the line.
So we can ask the common question that is on the show. Are you a page or a stage poet, and how do you define that?
Well, you know, as we all know, that there are literary poets out there, and there are people that are performance poets that we call stage poets. And I consider myself a stage poet, because I do love the stage. I do like to show off a little bit. Sometimes it helps.
A little bit?
Sometimes it benefits me. Sometimes it won't take me nowhere.
Sometimes it splits your pants.
Hey. I executed and I achieved the move. It can't be surprising that your own cousin and your daughter, well, your cousin sees it and is freaking amazed, going, this is at my birthday party. What the heck's he doing?
No, I'm talking about at Luna's. You drop to do push-ups or something, split your pants.
Oh, I split my pants so many times.
You have been. You're a poet that needs an elastic crotch.
That too. Well, hey. In my 40s, still able to do the splits. What?
As long as you follow it up with a bag of ice. What?
Hey. Still executing the splits. Not many people can do that much.
So do you think if poetry is on this more for performance, it can be not as tied to form, not as tied to substance? Do you think it can be less impressive poetry in general?
You know, the funniest thing is I'm actually learning that form actually works. It's weird to say that, but form actually works. It's just a matter of what you write and how it's portray, how you project or perform it. It's really, really honestly, I thought in my head that, you know, free form was the catch all, but it really isn't. Ironically, it is not the catch all to all. You can actually use form to get your message out. Because, you know, the funniest thing is that rap or hip-hop is a form. Rapping is a form. And even as much as people don't think of it, it actually is a form. It just doesn't have, it's just sometimes being portrayed with a beat, but it's still a form in itself.
So you've been playing with things like sonnets and villanelles. How do you find those? How do you find those to work with?
Villanelles are somewhat easier than sonnets because with a villanelle, all you need to do is get your first two your couplet associated with everything else you're going to say. Whereas with a sonnet, every line majority rhymes, and unless I'm writing a rap and thinking like how a rapper would do it.
How are they received on stage when you perform them?
My sonnets?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't performed my sonnets yet.
And why not?
I'm still trying to get that right one to perform.
How will you know it's the right one?
That's a good question.
Will you put a ring on it?
mostly I'll, you know, the funniest thing, I'll try them out. I try my poems out like I do, like comedians try out their jokes. You just go up there and you throw it out and you try to give it as much gravitas to it as possible instead of just going up there and going, I'm just going to read you something new. Hope you like it. Or what's the other saying they always say? If you're not hope you like it, be kind to me or something.
Be gentle.
Be gentle or some nonsense. I'm like, okay. I want all poets to hear this part here. One, poems that you perform, new, old, or whatever, do not give disclaimers. You know why? Because you can stumble, you can do whatever you need to, and people don't know the poem. You can maybe hate yourself, but do it so it doesn't seem like it. Just keep on reading the poem or perform the poem.
Why do you hate disclaimers so much? Because you really do. It's one of the first things you ever said to me.
I don't like disclaimers or monologues because either you are basically cheaping out the whole thought of the poem. It's almost like you basically gave your poem a flat tire before you start the car. You have basically popped the tires and then drove the car and wondered, why is everything wrong? You don't need to do that. You just need to start it up and do you. I don't need to know how bad the poem is. Why? You know, that's my own judgment call. Your poem can be exceptional, and I just don't like it because of this. It doesn't matter. You like your poem. So treat your poem like it's your significant other. Because if would you talk bad about your significant other before you go? I mean, I know some people do, but but you're going out to some place where they all want to see you. Were you going to talk bad? Well, you know, she's not that good, but, you know, I still love her.
So in Sacramento, are there poets you think who do it consistently well?
What?
Perform poetry, get up. They're the type of poets you would tell others to look at for how to get up on stage and perform.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's.
Name names.
So, I will say, Insa'a. He right there. He'll just go with a poem and just read it out. He'll and sometimes his inflections himself. The poem could be wholly, totally new. Maybe I never heard of it for. He maybe had it for years or whatever. You maybe never heard of it, but he performs it just like it was, like he's done it for years. And yes may have some new poems. And yes always makes me feel like, you know, I want to be you. Same with Brandon. Brandon does the same thing. Sometimes I get concerned with Brandon because he'll say,
Brandon Lee, for people who are unfamiliar.
Sometimes he'll say things like, this is a new poem, and try to, you know, bring people out to his level. But sometimes, like, Brandon, you don't need to bring anyone down to your level. You're stocked and born. We basically fight on a daily basis. That's how I think. Brandon, my boy, and congratulations to his baby. But but yeah. Also Jenny. Jenny has poems that always crack me up. You know, the Grace.
Which Grace?
Losher.
Mm-hmm.
Has a profounding voice. Every time I hear her do her poems, I just sit back in amaze, because she brings out the feeling that every person should have. It can be happy, sad, traumatic. She brings out that. She brings out that emotion hard. And sometimes it's even hard because she does it without miking herself much. So as much as I want her to be on a mic to record it, she puts the mic to the side and you can still hear her voice, and she projects it so well. You know, a new one that's coming out right now that's thoroughly exciting is Cloudy. Cloudy is one of our new Sacramento Poet Laureates, and her poems, and I always hear it from other people too, her poems are exceptional, and what cracks me up most about her poems, they're story-driven. So you can actually listen to a poem she does and actually almost ride the story out the way it goes out when she talks.
And do you draw inspiration outside of the poetry community for what you write?
You know, the funny thing, yeah, I do. I'm a DJ I do comedy show a lot of times, comedy shows, and also weddings and stuff. So it always cracks me up when I go to a wedding or a comedy show, what's out there? What else is out there beyond poetry? Because the entertainment itself it can go anyway. It goes anywhere you want.
So since you like being on stage, what are you doing to fill that need while we're on a, you know, self-isolation, social distancing?
Social distancing. Well, that is a good question, Auntie Vice. I still do podcasts. I also record myself doing DJ routines. I need to start putting them up online. It's kind of a weird thing. And now I'm actually getting into the mode of doing blogs. The reason why I'm now getting in the mode of doing a blog, because what's coming up is National Poetry Month, people. Natural Poetry Month. That is my jam.
Starts April 1st. What are you doing for National Poetry Month?
Oh, my gosh. What am I not doing for National Poetry Month?
Well, you're not doing a conference, and you're not doing live on stage. So what else are you doing?
That is true. That is true. Shout outs to SPC. We lost that, but we'll continue it next year. You know, the funny thing is that the conference, even though we're not doing it, we're right now trying to figure out another method of presenting something for Poetry Month for April. Just still in the works, so don't know. I'm not gonna say anything. Right now, I do the NAPOWRIMO.
Was it NaPoWRIMO?
Yeah. NaPoWRIMO, which is.
That, you're a rapper. You should be able to say it.
Yeah, I did that because I want people to go on their site and do the stuff, the exercises that they put out, the prompts that they put out. So basically, it's 30 poems for 30 days. You will do a poem, a prompt. You do a poem, and then you put that poem onto the site. It's .net. You go to that site. It's it's ridiculous. You put it on your blog and then you put it on theirs, and then you
start. And will the site be in the show notes?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Also, look out for Rest Wonderland. That's reswonderland.com. That is mine. I do a lot of crazy stuff on that, and just trying to now revamp it with the help of Auntie Vice. Trying to basically make it a little better for the viewer to see. But yeah.
And aren't you doing something on Zoom?
So if you know about SPC, well, we have a Monday poetry reading. Well, right now the Monday poetry reading got shut down due to the COVID 19 virus. But now we are now figuring out redirecting a new way of doing it, which we're going to now use Zoom meeting to actually do a presentation for a poetry reading. And I'm always the first Monday of the month. And with my first Monday of the month, I will be doing it on Zoom.
And how do people find out how to get involved in that? Find out how to get into the meeting?
I will send you a link either via email or via Facebook. I'll put it on my Iambic Facebook page and let you in the link.
And do people have to pre-register?
Yeah.
Yes. So where do they go to?
I haven't got that out yet, but you'll see when it comes up.
You'll see.
Yes. Just okay. You know what? You know you want to find out. Find it out on my Iambic Facebook page. It will have the link ready to go.
Boom! There you go. So, are you doing anything special for April Fool's Day?
Yeah, I'm going over to gag on this, and we're gonna act like a fool. Yes, we're gonna be gagging up hardcore. Going with gag on this, we're gonna have another show on there. Shout out to Gag on This podcast. Those guys are pretty hilarious. Danny, Nick, Rob, and they call me the honorary gagger. So yeah.
So since you do so much more than just poetry, why don't you tell people a little bit about some of the other things you're involved in and where to find you?
Yes, we are now. I am going to tell you this now, people. We are bringing it back. We are bringing back Fat Chicks on Top. It is coming out in April. There will be a few episodes coming out in April. It's mostly been my fault. Auntie Vice has been patiently waiting for me to come back and do what I should be doing, and that's getting her stuff done. That's on me. That's a Serious Productions issue. That is on me. Serious Production is my other company, and I am falling on the ball.
And it is a Serious Production issue.
I am falling on the ball.
You also are doing some other stuff.
I am doing
DJ.
That is a Serious Production thing too. I'm DJing. I'm actually going to go back to do some blogging since we are now in this little COVID stance. I'm waiting for a moment where I can say that we are getting back to working with our locations. But till that time, I am doing this, and also, oh, okay, there's something I didn't bring up. I'm going to be doing taxes. I am doing people's taxes. I'm going back in to the warfare of doing taxes. I do taxes. Nobody's known that. I am a tax professional. I was working with H&R Block for 2 years doing taxes, and was actually a 98th percentile, one of the top students of their class. Ha ha. And
so you're good with numbers.
I'm good with numbers. You know the funniest thing? You really don't need to know numbers and taxes. Ain't that the craziest thing? You really don't need to know numbers and taxes. You really don't need to add
anything. I just need to know the email address of my tax attorney. So that's what I need to know in taxes.
Well, I am. I thought I would be a good tax attorney with them.
You're not an attorney. I actually got an attorney.
I know you do, ironically.
So yes, you're doing a ton. So as we move forward with this whole uncertainty about how long we're in shelter in place, how long things are closed down, if people in Sacramento want to find out what's going on, when things are reopening, if there are events online. What are some of the resources they can go to?
Okay, for Sacramento people, for Sacramento poetry people, the events you can go to so far are, one, you can go to SacramentoPoetryCenter.org. They actually have four or five different places that they put information about poetry now, about what's going on over in Davis with Andy Jones, also going to Placerville and some other places. But also what's in Sacramento so far. You can also go to my site, reswonderland.com/iambic, and that gives you information on the main spots, main poetry spots in the area. I'm still in touch with Art Luna, trying to see when he's able to get back in the swing. But like everybody else, we are in a little bit of a bubble. Since this is now a new thing, I'm now going to put up new spots that are opening up. Like Lauren, Inside Eye is now having a poetry thing he's doing. Andy Jones is still doing Davis poetry in his area, and it's still on Thursday, but now he's doing it on Zoom. So now I'll be trying to broadcast links to the new spots that are new areas that people should be affiliated with. Even our Sacramento poet laureate is, which is Andrew Dufai. I did an episode with him. Go to that episode. Is also also broadcasting information of shows and stuff. So I'm gonna be online trying to find where all the stuff's at for you. That's what I'm gonna say. I'm trying to find all the line to beat all the stuff for you. So get ready, people. April's gonna be interesting because we are doing some Guerrilla Poetry Month. And since all the streets are closed, well, not closed, but they're empty, it's gonna be crazy.
And because you're moving this show more online for now, because you can't actually go out and interview people. If people want to participate on the show who may not have been able to reach out to you in Dave or in Sacramento, how can they get in touch with you?
To get in touch with me on Iambic Poetry Podcast, please go to go to my email, which is iambiczine@gmail.com. That is IAMBIC, Z as in zebra, INE. @gmail.com, and just let me know, give me some information about you and also some sites to check out so we can start something up. I have a couple of new ones coming out. I got one from a rapper in Australia that wants me to interview him and stuff, and I'm gonna get that finished with him. And I also did a interview with a businesswoman in Sacramento who does fashion selling. And you'll hear her in just a bit when I do the commercial. Boom.
All right. Welcome, welcome. This is Sharon Smith, and this is Iambic Poetry Podcast. And this is Women's History Month. And I got here a special, special guest. I got here Venetia from Closet Treasures. Woo! How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
And welcome to the show and stuff. And I was looking through your stuff and stuff, and I'm glad you hit me up. And you put in work. You, as a black woman, and everything, and just a lot of the as being an online boutique. So what else is do you do with Closet Treasures?
So currently I'm actually just online and have my website, www.closettreasures.com. And I'm looking to network with other podcast owners. And also I've been networking and doing pop-up shops at different events and stuff. And in the future, I plan to have my own storefront.
Okay. And what started Closet Treasures? I mean, I've seen this as an interesting
So what started it is I just have a passion for fashion, and I just realized I got asked a lot about different looks and stuff. Like when I would go out, people would ask me where I would get certain outfits and stuff. And so that right there just gave me the idea, like, okay, you have the eye for the look. So that just, that's what made me, that's what drove me to start the business.
So is it more of a, is it more of you being a fashion seller, or is it more just you being a fashion designer type thing?
It's more of a fashion seller because they're not my own designs. Yeah.
But basically you're like the middleman. You basically get the design that's out there and things shows to the people. And
yeah. Sort of, okay. I pick out different looks, and I also ask some of my friends' opinions on different looks before I buy them.
Oh, okay. And how long have you been in Sacramento for?
So I'm born and raised in Sacramento.
Oh, okay. You're a Sacramento girl. All right. Yeah. Well, all right. Cool. And then do you also do any of the fashion shows here and stuff? Like,
so I haven't yet because I'm fairly new in business. Well, I've been established for about a year, but now I'm finally starting to branch out and meet other people, you know, to get my business name out there.
On the Troy side, have you basically worked with any of the entertainment in Sacramento, like some of the shows in downtown and stuff, like work with some of the arts or any of them yet? Or?
So actually, I don't know if you have heard of Trap Art.
Yeah.
So I actually just got an email from them this morning. They're going to be having a couple of shows in Sacramento. Yeah. So I'm too late for the one that's coming up, but they're going to have one in May.
Oh, okay.
And then I noticed that they also have ones in Oakland and San Francisco. So I'm just going to tell them I want to do all of them.
Are you modeling with a few friends coming to the shows, or is it going to be just you posting up a booth with them?
I haven't really figured it out yet. I have to talk to them about all the details and stuff. But maybe for the first one, I'll just have a booth. I'll be a vendor and set up my stuff. And then, you know, as I get a feel of everything, I want to actually bring a couple models with me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. And so what are the I was looking at your Instagram and stuff, and I've seen some of the outfits. A lot of the outfits are very tight. I didn't see too many dresses and stuff, but I do know you also do dresses and all the other things.
Or? Yeah, so my goal is actually to have different styles for different body figures and shapes, all sizes and shapes. I want to cater to all women, but it's kind of hard. I was talking to one of my friends and I was like, you know, I have to get out of the mode of what I would wear. I have an eye for, you know, things that I would wear, but I have to think about other people as well, because I get a lot of people asking me, oh, when are you going to sell bigger sizes? Can you do plus size? And, you know, I want to be for everybody. So okay. I'm working on that.
Are you trying to get beyond the torrid look? Trying to get past torrid, be the black torrid?
maybe not.
Well, that's all good.
You know, I want to be more versatile, though.
Okay. Okay. And also, being that you're online and stuff, so you go, that makes you going beyond just Sacramento and Oakland and stuff. You're going, and more California, you're going all the way out, like Las Vegas and all that stuff.
Yeah, so okay. I have worldwide shipping.
Ooh.
And what I notice is most of my customers, they're actually not even in California. I get a lot of business in Texas, Atlanta, North Carolina, South Carolina. So shout out to all of the customers out there, because they're like my biggest sellers.
Well, definitely. My mom's in Cleveland and stuff, so yeah, I know the feeling. So it's getting out there and stuff. So being that you also do Beyond Clothes, is there anything else like accessories and stuff that you do?
So I want to branch out and have accessories as far as like sunglasses, purses, shoes. I want to do it all. But just starting with clothes right now.
Is it more still the designer brand, or are you also going for like other, beyond the designer brand, like other designers, like not just like Fat Farm and stuff, stuff beyond that? For, are you catering more to black, just the black people, or is it?
Oh no, my business is very versatile. Like I don't have a set race that I'm catering to at all. It's open for everyone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's black owned, but it's for everybody.
And did you have anything going on for since it is Women's History Month? Any kind of sales or any deals or anything?
On the day of Women's National Day, I was having a 15% off sale, and I'm actually going to extend that sale for the rest of the month.
You hear that, ladies? She's extending the sale. Oh, might as well start selling right there. There you go. And also, do you have seeing this as a woman's power, this is a powerful step and stuff. Is there anything that you are a businesswoman, and that's one thing that has been very strifeful in the community right now, and that's necessary. Do you feel the empowerment sometimes from when you go out there and people, you say, yeah, I'm a businesswoman, put your card out and stuff?
Do I feel the empowerment?
Yes, yeah.
I do. People get excited. A lot of people get excited about women-owned businesses and Black-owned businesses. Yeah. And then what I realized is, like, it takes a team to make it. And I've been linking up and networking with other women-owned businesses here in Sacramento. So, like, whenever I'm at events and stuff. Actually, the other day at an event, someone asked me, do you sell lingerie? I don't sell lingerie, but I have a friend who sells lingerie.
Well, there you go. Connections.
So, yeah.
Okay. And also, being that you are on social, is it mostly online? You don't have like a brick and mortar store yet, or just more of just selling?
Yeah, right now it's just online. Actually, I went to a networking event the other night, and I actually got in touch with some members of the Black Chambers.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, they were super excited to hear about my business, and they've been working with, like, Stockton Boulevard and North Sacramento. They really want to get businesses in those areas, so I have to go speak with them about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, did you also talk with, did you ever talk with Sacramento? That's one of the websites here and stuff. And also, they have, like, business career shows, Black business-owned career shows here in Sacramento. Have you been to some of those yet? Or?
I have not.
Okay, that's fine. No. But we'll get you in contact. Okay. They go, Juneteenth's coming and stuff, so it's going to be some wild stuff. And even getting some of the comedians involved and let you check out their material. So that'll be very cool. So, but no, thanks for coming out and stuff. And where can the people find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram. My Instagram name is at Closet Treasures. I also have a Facebook page, Closet Treasures. I'm working on a YouTube channel, and also I'm working on building my Pinterest page. And my website is www.closettreasures.com.
Say that again so they all get it.
That's www.closettreasures.com.
Remember, people, Closet Treasures. Get out of your closets. Be something fabulous for you. Thank you for coming to the show, and we'll see y'all later. All right, peace.
And anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Yeah. COVID's here. COVID's now, but we do need to stay inside. We do need to have social distancing. We need to have self-isolation. We need to keep this thing going. I know this is frustrating. We're already 2 weeks in, and we're still freaking out. When are we this thing going to be done with? I know money is becoming a problem because I hear from friends and I hear from family members that they don't know where their next check is going to be. Well, as much as we really want to get back to work, you should also realize where you're going back to, because you might be going back to a problem. There might be, the job may have its own situation and may lay you off. You may not want to be near your coworkers anymore.
You may not have wanted to be near your coworkers in the first place anyway.
So all these new changes are going to happen. So you might as well take the moment now to do something new and different. If that's writing on your blog as a new diary or checking out the stuff online, just do something now. Start a business. These are things you can do at this present moment. You know, it's better now to learn it now and get some new perspective than have you sitting around stagnant and then wondering. And then when you get out of it, you look at yourself and say, "What did I produce? Or what does my productivity give me?" So, yeah.
So thank you for having me back on the show.
Yes, thank you for being my interviewer.
Proximity is everything.
Am I interviewee?
You're the interviewee. Okay, I'm the cool interviewer.
Okay.
This has been Auntie Vice with Sharon Smith for Iambic Poetry.
All right, peace.
For more information, please go to linktr.ee/iambiczine.
IAMBICZINE. Thank you.